The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan, Homefield Apparel is back in 2024 supporting Gopher Gridiron Radio. This is some of the best premium vintage looking stuff you can find. You can get Gopher apparel. You can get all sorts of other universities that are licensed apparel. It's awesome. You know that I wear my Washington shirt a lot. I also wear a ton of my Gopher gear all the time. But Ryan, honestly, they've really got something for everyone. They now have a vintage corduroy hat. The Minnesota one looks elite. So if you have one of those hipsters in your life that really need some Minnesota apparel, they've got you covered.
Look, I have a gigantic head and I don't think this thing would fit my head, but it looks fresh. Like it is a Minnesota maroon with gold lettering vintage corduroy hat. I'm telling you, this thing looks fresh. If you haven't already, go to homefieldapparel.com to check it out. Whether it's that, whether it's just the apparel coming up for the maroon out, they got the coaches jackets, whatever it may be, I can guarantee you can go to homefieldapparel.com and you can find something that you're going to want to buy. You're going to wear it to the tailgate lot, and people are going to make comments to you in a very positive way. So homefieldapparel.com, when you get the checkout, use promo code GG24 to get 15% off your first order. That is promo code GG and the numbers 24.
Welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns, and we welcome you guys to the Hate Week episode. Yes, you've made it already. It is Gophers Iowa, Floyd of Rosedale, invalid signals, and hopefully the only time we'll say that on this entire podcast, because I'm incredibly over it, but it is Hate Week. Who hates Iowa? Luke Buer hates Iowa. Now they get to come up to Huntington Bank Stadium on a Saturday night for NBC Under the Lights. What more could you ask for the Floyd of Rosedale, Mr. Buer?
I don't think anything. I think it's going to be a blast. I think you have highlighted here and elsewhere that this could be one of the more inebriated games in recent memory with the time ahead of the game and maybe some of the shenanigans that some people think went down with the previous game. I think we just call it officiating. But, you know, in general, I think this is going to be a blast. A rivalry is always a blast. They play for arguably the best trophy in all of college football. And honestly, it's a pivotal game probably for both teams, Ryan.
I think both fan bases would elect to say yes. You have a Minnesota fan base who's angry after the opener as Minnesota plays as sloppy as they possibly could, have multiple opportunities to win the football game, and the left foot doesn't get it done, but he's not the only reason. And then you have Iowa losing to Iowa State, where they have a double-digit point second-half lead against their in-state rival at home. And yet again, the offense fails them. The defense actually gives up a couple of plays to put them in spot. And then Iowa State's kicker is just on the money. So I think both teams have aspirations. I tell you, from talking with people down in Iowa City, specifically my lovely folks over there at Iowa 24/7, I know I have a bet on the under between the two of them, or between at least one of them, Luke. The over-under for the win total for the Hawkeyes heading into the season was around 7.5. I made that was bet it. On the under on 9.5. So there were a lot of expectations. Or even I talked to Scott Docterman, who for my money is one of the best Big Ten football writers in the country. Talked to him in person before the North Carolina game. He's up in the press box, and he even reiterated those same sentiments that around Iowa City, there were a lot of college football playoff bubble aspirations. That was the more so the local angle. And if Iowa loses this weekend, two losses in September is not going to do you any favors if you're going to be somehow on the college football playoff bubble.
So, okay, just clear this up for me real quick. So the over-under to start the season was 9.5, and it's now to 7.5. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that in Vegas it was 7.5. Uh-huh. My lovely brother-in down at Iowa 24/7.
Oh, they had it at 9.5, and you took the under on the 9.
They took the over, and I was like, absolutely, I will take the under on that.
Okay.
So if I get it, I have a night of debauchery on their dime at the next Big Ten Media Days. I think that was the bet anyway. Okay. So, look, I think Iowa's a good football team. We have a lot of time to get into that tonight, but
no doubt
it is a pretty pivotal game for both teams. And I think both teams are very, very similar. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be very curious to see how this whole thing shakes out.
Yeah, should be a fun game to watch. The rivalry is always fun. And, you know, the antics, I think this season more than most will probably be at an all-time high. So it should be a blast. And like you said, with the expectations on Iowa, you know, this is a pivotal game for them. If they move to 2-2, I think expectations are, you know, maybe not expectations, but murmurings around Kirk Ferentz are probably going to be at an all-time high. It feels like they do this in cycles, though, right, in Iowa City. You know, Kirk has a tough streak, and then they want him gone, but then they can't really get rid of him. But then ultimately he bounces back and has a great team again, and they love him. It's just a perpetual cycle, it feels like, in recent memory. But for Minnesota, if you can get this win, you kind of rectify the wrong, not the wrong, but the slow start by losing to North Carolina, and you're feeling pretty good about yourself. So, but conversely, if Iowa wins, you know, they're going to be feeling a lot better after that tough loss to Iowa State for them, and they'll feel like they're back on track. So this is pivotal for both. And I know, Ryan, this is one, as we opened, as we previewed the season, we viewed as a coin flip game. And I think everything is indicating it continues to be a coin flip game.
Welcome to coin flip game number two, something you're going to hear me say a lot over the next couple of months because we're starting to get into the meat of that. But yes, it is coin flip game number two. And to your point, and you look at the schedule for Iowa after this, they have a bye week and then they have to travel on the road to Ohio State, which Godspeed. But then it gets very easy. I mean, very easy. You have Washington. I know your beloved Huskies, and I know you're hoping and praying that Washington can figure it out in Iowa City. I'd say good luck to you.
Yeah.
On the road at Michigan State, which we'll see if Aiden Childs can chuck the ball around the yard on them. Northwestern, Wisconsin, and Wisconsin got the news, or it's being reported now, that Tyler Van Dyke, their starting quarterback, their transfer from Miami, is now going to be out for the season, which that's a tough break for Wisconsin, and that game changes. And then at UCLA, who just got boat raced by Indiana. So that part of why there were all these aspirations, and there still can be for this Iowa team to get schedule. 10 wins, is they can win 10 games and not have a single ranked win on there. You look at the rest of their schedule after this one, Ohio State is certainly the toughest game, but then it's going to be that Nebraska game at the end of the year. You could probably run the gauntlet in between, but if they're going to be able to have those aspirations, this is a game the Hawkeyes have to win, and that's something, Luke, they've done a lot of, unfortunately, in Minneapolis in the last decade.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I saw that they've won the last four games in Minneapolis. You know, they had been on a heater until the Gophers won down in Iowa City. And one reality, Ryan, is I think we talked about this in the preview. Kirk Ferentz teams just tend to get better as the season goes on, right? Consistently as they go into November. So maybe catching them now is better time than any for the Gophers because they typically play them later in the season. But it's just going to be a blast. It's a great time. It'll be on NBC. It's going to be their game of the week, and it'll just be fun. No doubt about it. So maybe let's transition and get into injuries. What are some things that we're looking at? I'm not asking you for your Ryan Burns too deep. And I know that we're going to be waiting for the 2-hour report. But yeah, what are some injuries that you're monitoring?
I'd say there's two in mind that at least come to the top of things here. One is going to be for Minnesota, Justin Wally. What is his status? We don't know. We asked PJ Fleck. He got this. I want you to picture. So how old is your oldest son now?
He's 5.
I want you to picture this little, I'm not going to swear, but this little crappy grin on his face. Like when he knows he did something wrong and he wants to see your reaction.
Yeah.
That's the face that PJ Fleck makes to the media when we ask him about injuries and he gets to hit us with, well, you'll find out 2 hours ahead of time. Can't understate how much I loathe that, but that's the reality of the situation. So if you're asking me today, is Justin Wally going to play in this game? I'll set the scene. In the first half of the last game, he's in a backpedal and he just goes down. Non-contact injury, seemingly a knee injury. He comes back out of the blue tent, tries to warm up. They put a brace on his right knee. They try to get him to do stuff. They have ultimately shut him down. He comes out of halftime and he is just in street clothes, more or less. He's wearing a jersey, no pads. The fact that he warmed up tells me it's not a long-term thing, but I would tell you I'd be very surprised if he plays in this game, and that's unfortunate because he's actually played really well against Iowa. You remember last year he has the game
ceiling game-winning
interception to have Minnesota be able to end it. He has another turnover that he forced, I believe it was a forced fumble back in 2021 or 2022. He's actually one of the most experienced players that the Gophers have in this contest, and he's played really well against Iowa. So I'd be surprised if he plays. If he does not, I believe that's going to be a lot more for redshirt freshman Zaquan Bryan. Maybe you see a little bit more Jayonte McMillan, especially in passing down. That's where Justin Wally had been sliding inside to nickel. I wonder if Jayonte takes those passing down nickel. I think Zaquan Bryan gets thrust into the outside. Maybe we see a little bit of Rylan Kelly. I'm not too sure, but I think that's the big injury to watch for Minnesota. And then for the Iowa side of things, they're one of their starting tailbacks, and LaShawn Williams is going to be out for this game. Now, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about Iowa's run game because it's been really efficient. It's been really good, and it's led by one singular tailback. Well, the guy they thought that was going to be the guy coming into the year was LaShawn Williams. He is hurt. He is banged up, so he's not going to play in this game. He played quite a bit against Minnesota last year. So there's a couple of key injuries, but other than that, as far as I'm aware, Minnesota is pretty healthy. Iowa is pretty healthy. And we're going to have to see if that comes to fruition in that 2 hours ahead of time availability report.
All right. So let's get to do you want to start with defense or offense this time?
Oh, let's start with Minnesota's defense.
Okay. So let's talk about when Iowa is on offense. Obviously, they're led by the running back Johnson, who's amassed 479 yards of total offense and 6 touchdowns on 61 carries. He's arguably been their best player all season. I don't think there's any question even coming into this season that he would be probably their best player. This is a guy last year that didn't really have much going against the Gopher defense. Caleb Johnson only had 6 carries for 18 yards in that game. I don't actually recall if he got injured or anything, but you know, they did have a trouble running the ball last year. But Iowa this year is obviously led by Cade McNamara. We have to assume, Ryan, that he's going to start in this game. But yeah, Iowa offensively, again, will always have strong tight ends. And this is going to continue to be the case probably until the end of time. But yeah, ultimately, how are the Gophers going to slow down this Iowa offense?
That's the question. That is going to be one to watch because this is no longer the Brian Ferentz offense. Now comes Tim Lester. Came from the Green Bay Packers where he was, I believe, an analyst for Matt LaFleur. But the interesting connection here is Tim Lester was formerly at Western Michigan. And do you know who his offensive coordinator was?
Western Michigan.
Greg Harbaugh Jr.
Really?
So those two worked together for a couple of years at Western Michigan. So I'm going to be very curious to see because I'm sure both Corey Heatherman and Phil Parker have gone to their respective offensive coordinators and said, what can you tell me about the way this guy thinks, the way he likes to call plays, yada, yada, yada. So it's a little bit different of a variation with Lester. They still are very much in the Kirk Ferentz DNA, where they're a two tight end personnel, you know, a lot of heavy stuff in terms of multiple tight ends. They're going to run the football, the play action run game, like play action of the tight end. It's very similar, but it's going to look a lot different. You're going to see a lot more shifts and motions and things like that than what you're accustomed to seeing with Iowa. But they go as Caleb Johnson goes. Mm-hmm. Caleb Johnson is their star tailback. In the game last year against the Gophers, he was actually their leading rusher with 18 yards. That's where we're going to find out how good this Minnesota run defense is. Because even last year, we've talked about it endlessly on this podcast over the last 6-8 months. Minnesota's run defense was god-awful last year. Worst in the Big Ten. Yet against Iowa and Iowa City, opposing tailbacks ran the ball 20 times for, I believe, 33 yards. So Minnesota sold out to stop the run. Deacon Hill couldn't do anything through the air. But now with Caleb Johnson, Minnesota has played a very similar tailback earlier in the year. And what I mean by that is, do you know who the number one and number two players in the country in this young college football season are in yards after contact?
Caleb Jones and Amarion Hampton.
Caleb Johnson.
Or Johnson Jones.
Had Luke Buehr getting another name wrong.
Yeah.
But Amarion Hampton is number one in the country so far in yards after contact with 310. Second is Iowa's Caleb Johnson at 308. He leads all of Power 4 running backs in rushing yards with 479, and his 6 rushing touchdowns are tied for second most in Power 4 football, and that leads the Big Ten. Oh, by the way, he's got 19 missed tackles. That's 4th best among all Power 4 running backs. So we know the issues that Minnesota had with Amarion Hampton with the amount of missed tackles they had. Like I've mentioned it before, and after that episode, Corey Heatherman, Minnesota's defensive coordinator, said afterwards he counted 22 missed tackles. That would be the most amount of missed tackles of any Gopher defense in any game in the Fleck era. So the question that is going to come to mind, Luke, is how improved is Minnesota with their tackling, and how improved are they in their run defense? Because they have been really good against Rhode Island and Nevada. Peace and love. One is a CAA team.
Yeah.
One is a Mountain West team, and this is now an Iowa offensive line that is very experienced. They have this thing going. Their stretch zone play is being executed at a very high level. And it comes down to, we talked to Corey Heatherman today about this, is they need to wrap up. If you can just wrap up Caleb Johnson, which as between the yards after contact and the missed tackles forced is a lot easier said than done on this early year, you're going to have a shot here, because I don't have very little. I'll say that. I have very little faith that Cade McNamara can consistently beat you through the air. Now, we've seen an Iowa quarterback of yesteryear turn into the next Joe Namath in these types of contests. I know that. But it comes down to Minnesota's defensive line, and we'll spend a lot of time talking about them. Anthony Smith, Ja Joyner, Devin Eastern, Danny Strigow, Jalen Logan Redding. I mean, they have been playing at a very high level the last couple of weeks. Now is going to be their biggest test of the season, because if they can't get penetration and if they're getting hit and knocked back into the linebackers, it's going to be a long night for Minnesota. But if they can get penetration, get off blocks, and allow their linebackers to flow clean through, that's where you can see the path to Minnesota having some defensive success. But make no mistake about it, Luke, stopping Caleb Johnson is number one with a bullet in red ink in bold on Corey Heatherman's to-do list.
Yeah, so remind me, you bring up the Joe Namath comment. Well, I think that was the year that Bucky Irving and Kai Thomas ran wild almost, but the Gophers struggled to score. Was it Alex Padilla that came in and just absolutely ripped a couple long ones, and that was really the difference in the game, those explosive plays? I think it was him.
I believe it was.
Yeah, reinforce your point.
2021?
Yeah, maybe it was 2021. I don't know. It was definitely the year
2021,
with
2021. Because Kai Thomas and Bucky Irving combined for 206 rushing yards, but Minnesota only puts up 22 points on those.
Yeah.
And to your point, Alex Padilla completes under 50% of his throws, but he had, I think, two different explosives that just changed the entire game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, we're going to find out.
Yeah, we're going to find out for sure. I guess just some advanced stat things to look at. You know, Iowa, you know, when it comes to EPA per dropback, they're 106th in the country. EPA per rush, they're 52nd. Conversely, Minnesota has been very good against the pass. They're defensively, they're on EPA per dropback, they're 7th. And EPA per rush, they're 48th. Now, you can take these stats for what they're worth, in large part because of the fact that that Minnesota has played two opponents that really aren't great and then played North Carolina as well. And North Carolina didn't exactly throw the ball super well. But one thing that I wanted to highlight is the Gophers still somewhat aren't phenomenal on third and fourth down success defensively. They rank 69th in the country and Iowa is 50th, where they have a 41.9% success rate on third and fourth downs. I think a key here, Ryan, is going to be getting Iowa into third and longs, and that obviously starts with stopping the run, right? Because if they get into third and manageable, that makes it so much easier for them to convert, and all the much harder for the Gophers to defend.
100%. This is an Iowa offense that wants to live in third and short, third and medium, because they don't want to go to drop back game. They don't want to try and pass the football. I mean, they can. We've seen it a little bit, but they want to live and die with Caleb Johnson. And if that's going to be the case, they have to be at least in third and five and shorter to be able to do so.
Yeah, and to be able to do that, I mean, if you look at the run rate over expectation, Iowa ranks 109th. They run the ball more often than almost anyone in the country. So it'll be interesting to see how this Gopher defense handles, you know, Caleb Johnson. And at the end of the day, Ryan, as you mentioned, it just comes down to being able to make tackles and you know, being able to control the line of scrimmage, because in previous years, whoever controls the line of scrimmage often wins the game.
And that's where Caleb Johnson's going to get 25 carries in this game. He might get 30. But if you can just get them in second and third and long and then not have Luke Lachey, who is this year's Iowa tight end, I mean, we've seen, damn, your Iowa tight end over the years, TJ Hawkinson, Noah Fant. I'm trying to remember who was the guy in 2020. It was Sam Laporta, I think, in 2022, who had that huge reception.
And then he got
late
hurt.
In the game, and the last time they were here at Huntington Bank Stadium, where it just killed them. So it's always going to be Iowa tight ends, and we'll talk about how poor Minnesota's linebackers have been in coverage so far this year, which it gives me a little it's a little worrisome. But if you can get Iowa in second and third and long, we've seen this Heatherman passing down package where they do overload stuff. You don't know where the ball's coming from, and that's where Minnesota has been living with all these interceptions and all these turnovers. If you can win the turnover margin, as we saw last year, going to have a great shot. But to be able to get these turnovers, I think you're going to have to be selling out to stop the run.
Oh, let's catch a quick break and then we will come back and preview when the Gophers are on offense. Team Dinkytown Real Estate is supporting Dinkytown athletes, and that supports your Gopher football team, your Gopher volleyball team, your Gopher softball team, whatever it is that you want to support. And how they do that is they take 1% of the purchase price and they give it to Dinkytown athletes. So if you're buying or selling your house, that commission that typically goes to real estate agents is going to help fund NIL efforts at the University of Minnesota. And Ryan, we know that NIL money can move the needle for players.
It absolutely can. And with the news today that mortgage rates are very likely going to be coming down here because of what the Fed did, you might be thinking to yourself, now is the time I want to buy a house. Mortgage rates are getting more reasonable. Well, if you don't have anybody you trust the people at Team Dinkytown. So what I want you to do, go to teamdinkytown.com, all one word, or give them a call today at 612-250-8562.
Ryan, insurance is something we have to live with and we can't live without. Or so I'm told. And so if you're going to be getting insurance on your car, home, automobile, boat, SUV, I don't know, bunch of different things, right? The Burns Insurance Agency is going to shop for you. They are going to help you. They're going to get you the best coverage at the best price possible.
That's the beauty of an independent insurance agency, is they don't have any allegiance to anyone. They just want to get the best coverage at the best price for you. So if you're thinking to yourself, I know I'm paying too much for my home, my car, my commercial business, my boat, my ATV, whatever it may be, Check out the folks at insurancebyburns.com. Support a local Gopher fan today, insurancebyburns.com, or email him, bill@insurancebyburns.com.
Okay, let's talk about a little bit when the Gophers are on offense. Obviously, Ryan, we've seen this, you know, pass to run concept for the Gophers start to blossom and mature against two inferior opponents. I guess this is really the gut check on whether or not PJ will stick with it against, obviously, a very good defensive opponent, arguably one of the better defensive coordinators of all time, and I think probably one of the better back ends that they'll face all season, right? Sebastian Castro is elite, and they have a number of just really good linebackers and corners and safeties. They do have one corner that I did note has been picked on a number of times, and it has resulted in explosive plays. Maybe that's something that they can exploit. But this defense is really good, Ryan. So what are the Gophers going to have to do to be able to have success and put points on the board on Saturday?
They need to run the football enough to set up the pass, because running the football just does not beat Iowa. And you mentioned earlier the Kai Thomas and Bucky Irving game where Minnesota scores 22 points. They run for over 200 yards. That was the game where Mike Sanford implemented, I think it was the toss.
Yeah.
And they
run that counter toss.
The ball into space saying, you can't tackle Bucky Irving, who's about to usurp Rashad White on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to become their starting tailback. And Kai Thomas has had seen his career unfortunately go in a much different direction than Bucky Irving since he transferred out. But those two ran up and down the field. Mm-hmm. But it was just, you couldn't put the ball in the end zone, which is why Iowa ultimately wins that game, is because they did put the ball in the end zone. But I went back and looked at the last three teams to beat Kirk Ferentz's Iowa team in the regular season. It's 2024 Iowa State, 2013 Michigan, and 2013 Minnesota.
2023, you mean, right?
Yes. Excuse me, 2023 Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And that's where Iowa State only ran the ball with their tailbacks for 86 yards. They were under 3.6 yards per carry. Michigan in 2023 with Blake Corum, who is a top 100 overall draft pick at running back, and an offensive line that was, I believe, won the Joe Moore Award for the best offensive line in college football. They only ran the ball for 95 yards on 23 carries. And then Minnesota last year in that game ran it 35 times for 126 yards, about 3.6 yards per carry. That's not how you beat Iowa. They're always good against the run. And when you look at the advanced stats, they are one of the best teams against the run so far in college football this season, which is why it's so important to be able to throw the football. And that's what I would do. I mean, I think about those Jeff Brom Purdue teams, who they were the only ones to really consistently have success.
Yeah.
And I think they chucked the ball around the yard and they didn't care if they made a mistake. Now, if I'm offensive coordinator Greg Harbaugh, if I'm quarterback Max Brosmer, there's two players that I am going to try and avoid like the plague. One is a cornerback by the name of Jamari Harris, who has been, he has just been unbelievable in coverage to start this 2024 season. He has more pass breakups and interceptions than he does receptions allowed so far this year. And he's coming off a game where he just had a pick six. He's an outside corner for them. And then to your point, Sebastian Castro is one of the best nickels in college football. Sure tackling, always in the right spot, can take advantage of balls thrown in the air near him. I mean, they're two outstanding players. Their issue so far this year has been the other outside corner, which has been a guy by the name of TJ Hall. TJ Hall has given up three touchdowns so far this season with just two pass breakups and no interceptions. So the key for Minnesota here is going to be, I don't know who your sacrificial lamb is going to be that you're just going to toss on the side of Jamari Harris, but that's what I would do, is whether it's, I mean, Elijah Spencer, whether it's Lameke Brockington, my man's going to be out there running wind sprints. Like, he is just going to be out there trying to clear out Jamari Harris. I want nothing to do with him.
Sure.
But then I want to pick on the other corner as much as you can. But it's going to come down to, can Max Brosmer have enough time to throw the football? Because I'm also old enough to remember back to that 2018 game at Huntington Bank Stadium.
Yeah.
Where Anthony Nelson absolutely baptized the right tackle for Minnesota in that game, who got benched at halftime because he gave up three sacks. And that started the Daniel Fa'alele era at right tackle in the third quarter. So this isn't, to me, the 2018 line for Iowa, where I think it was Anthony Nelson, AJ Epinesa, Chauncey Golston. They still have good players. They're still big. They're still long. Greg Harbaugh mentioned today multiple times. They're very heavy-handed. But it's going to be interesting because this Iowa defensive line, they're going to be very sound. They're going to be very good against the run. But I want to see if they can rush the passer. And I want to see if Minnesota's big, bulkier offensive line, which is now going to go against the biggest and bulkiest defensive line they've seen, can they actually hold up in protection? And can you open enough things in the run game? Because if Brosmer is just going to be constantly under duress, it's going to be really tough to throw the football, and it's going to be really tough to sustain drives. So if you believe Minnesota is going to win this football game, you think Brian Callahan's Minnesota Moving Company is going to be able to have their best performance of the season, which doesn't even have to be, Luke, an A-grade performance. If you can just be a B or B-minus, I think that's going to be enough to let Brosmer sit back there and deliver the ball where he needs to. But, I mean, I'd love to be wrong that Minnesota can't run the football. They haven't been able to do so really at all outside of that Darius Taylor long touchdown run. But here's the stat of the day for you, Luke. Iowa's defense through three games has allowed only two runs of over 10 yards so far this entire season. Two runs over 10 yards, none over 20.
Mm-hmm.
They're very good against the run. I expect them to be really good against the run on Saturday night. And it's going to be on Max Brosmer's right arm to be able to consistently sustain drives if Minnesota's going to put up points.
Yeah, and if you think back to, you know, recent games in the PJ Fleck era against these Iowa teams, you know, defensively, they sometimes will give up yards in between the 20s, right? But the second that you get into the red zone, they lock down. And and we all know that, you know, space is limited in the red zone, and it's easier to defend the red zone sometimes because of that, especially if you're more of a pass happy team. But even running the ball, they've always been able to put the clamps down, you know, in the red zone, etc. So touchdowns are going to be of the utmost importance. I know you were able to win last year with four field goals. Don't bank on that. You have to be able to score touchdowns. You got to take advantage of those opportunities when they present themselves.
What if I told you, well, let me have you guess first, how many red zone appearances have opposing offenses made against Iowa in three games?
Oh, man. Six? Two a game?
There has been one.
Jeez.
Drive that has gotten into the red zone against Iowa.
So basically, all their touchdowns,
an explosive touchdown,
yeah,
because Iowa has allowed three different 60 plus yard touchdowns, two via the air, one on a punt return. But they have only allowed one drive to hit their red zone so far.
That's impressive.
I mean, it's a stat where it's like, goodness gracious. Now, on that one drive, the opposing team got into the end zone. But even getting down in the red zone has been pretty tricky for opposing offenses so far.
Yeah, it's always a good chess match. You know, the Gophers traditionally will run that little toss counter that you referenced earlier. That has been successful through the years. I'm sure that they'll implement it again. I would have to think that Iowa will be ready for it. I do think that they're outnumbered to a certain extent often, and why it often has success. And I don't know if this is Phil Parker's insistence on running his base kind of defense, but to his credit, like, they don't give up a lot of touchdowns, right? So it seems to work. They kind of play that bend but don't break. They'll maybe concede some yards on certain things, but once you get in the red zone, it's kind of been game over through the years.
It has been, and that's where it's going to be crucial for Greg Harbaugh to be able to get seven. It's a lot easier said than done. Anybody can say that against a Phil Parker defense year after year after year. But if somehow Minnesota is able to get a red zone touchdown,
yeah,
remember that drive, because I can about guarantee it's going to be crucial in this game.
Yeah, and then one thing we have to mention is in the game last year, we got to give Greg Harbaugh his flowers, right? Like, there was a time that he dialed up a shot to Daniel Jackson I believe it was in the second half, but it ended up being like a 30 plus or maybe even a 40 yarder, right? And that that might have been what sealed the game for Minnesota in terms of being able to getting into a scoring position and kicking another field goal. So he did dial up a shot. If I remember, it was maybe even into the wind, right? So we got to give him his flowers there, and that obviously caught them as a bit of a surprise. So let's hope we can see more of that. If you balked at Greg Harbaugh as a play caller, you also got to give him credit where credit's due.
Well, he even came out in the second half of that game last year and throwing. Threw the ball five straight times.
Yeah.
Now, I do remember wind being a huge part of that game. And to your point, that throw to Daniel Jackson early in the fourth quarter, I believe, was into the wind. But you still have to try to take some shots. Yes, Iowa is really good at turning you over defensively. They've got a couple of defensive backs, and we haven't even mentioned their safeties and Quinn Schulte, among others, who are very, very experienced. But what's the difference between taking a shot and it being an interception 40 yards down the field versus trying to throw a quick out, Jamari Harris jumps it, and it's a pick six? Like, there's a difference in those two plays in terms of interception. So the hope would be Minnesota can run the ball enough in this game to be able to set up the pass. And when you do have your 2-3 shots, you have to be able to hit on them. Missing shots against Iowa is not going to win you the football game. So the hope would be pass protection can hold up. Max Brosmer can deliver an accurate ball. And Minnesota's pass catchers cannot afford as many drops as we've seen so far this season.
All right. Let's get to the facts and figures for this game, Ryan. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. So this game is a 6:30 start. This will be September 21st in the year 2024 at Huntington Bank Stadium. This game will be on NBC. Ryan, are you familiar with Noah Eagle? He will be the play-by-play announcer.
We love that for you, Mr. Luke Bjork. I don't have any sound in the press box when I'm watching this game.
So those that watched Olympic basketball, this is the guy that did play-by-play with Dwayne Wade for there. Todd Blackledge.
That's a good nugget.
Yeah, Todd Blackledge will be the analyst. Obviously, the regular crew for those of you listening on the radio. Looking at some facts here, Minnesota leads the all-time series 39-20-1. Currently, Minnesota is on a one-game winning streak.
I'm going to be honest, Luke. There is no shot that's the all-time series.
Oh, I'm sorry. At Minnesota. My bad. I got the wrong one. The overall series is 63-52-2. But at Minnesota, it's 39-20-1. Minnesota has lost the last four games at home. Obviously, the last meeting, Minnesota won 12-10 in Iowa City. And if we get to the betting line for this game, Ryan, this opened as a 36.5 over under. And the spread was 2.5 in favor of Iowa. It currently sits at a 35.5 is what I see on ESPN Bet. And the spread is unchanged there. So if we take a quick look at the weather, this, I think, could be a storyline that we're going to have to monitor as we sit when we're recording here tonight on a Wednesday evening. The weather looks okay throughout the day, but right around 6 o'clock, it looks like there's a decent chance of rain, right around 50%, maybe even in the 60%. The temperature shouldn't be a factor. There might be a little bit of wind in the low 8 to 10 mile an hour range coming from the west northwest, but weather could play a factor in this ball game.
I have spent a lot of time in the DMs with some people talking about the weather this week, and I know some people got very upset at me the last time there was a weather event game, aka the North Carolina game.
Sure.
Because they're like, you're not a meteorologist. You have no idea what you're talking about. You're right. I'm not a meteorologist. But who else is going to try and tell you about the weather?
Yeah.
Who else is going to try and watch all these different things? And I've told Luke this before. In a different life, I would be a meteorologist. That's what I grew up for the first 18 years of my life thinking I was going to be. Didn't end up working out that way. But I would say this. As we sit here 72 hours prior to the game, the weather models are very confused. Depending upon which ones you look at, it's not going to rain at all. Depending upon the ones you look at, like Luke saw and other ones I've seen, it's like a 70% chance of rain. So here's what I would tell you. Once these models start to figure it out, which is someone who hunts plenty, so he spends way too much time looking at the wind and the weather. These forecasts really don't even know what they're doing until about 12 hours ahead of time in terms of timing of the rain. I will do my best to tweet these things out on Saturday morning, Friday night, have a variation of Fox 9, Care 11, CCO, whatever, pick your local news of choice. But just be aware that you might be getting wet at the tailgate. And I'll remind you, for this maroon out this weekend, tailgate lot, 12:30.
All right. Obviously, the two teams play for a heralded trophy, the Floyd of Rosedale. And currently, Iowa holds the lead for the Floyd of Rosedale since they've been playing for that, 44-43-2. So they hold a one-game lead at the moment. They've played for Floyd since 1935. And this will be this is the 90th battle all time, Ryan. So kind of a nice round number. So the Gophers can tie it up this season if they're able to win on Saturday. So yeah, let's get to your keys of the game.
First of all, thanks, Carl. I know you're listening.
Yeah, Carl, thanks.
Lovely notes.
This got a lot easier for me and also more interesting because I enjoy reading these. And now I mostly just kind of read them back.
We love that for you, Luke.
I know.
So my key to the game offensively is running the football does not beat Iowa, so only run it to set up the pass. Because I mentioned it earlier, when you look at the three teams that Kirk Ferentz has lost to in the regular season, their last three losses, it's Iowa State this year, Michigan last year, Minnesota last year. All three teams really had no success running the football. And that's why Phil Parker's defense is consistently one of the best year after year after year, as the place you want to test them isn't on the ground, it's through the air. Iowa State's quarterback, Rocco Beck, threw the ball 35 times earlier this year for 272 yards and two scores, which is how they overcame a two-score second-half deficit to beat Iowa and Iowa City. So here's my plea to the head coach. PJ Fleck, this isn't the week to find your run game. So as you've done all non-conference, let Harbaugh and Max Brosmer chuck this thing. Now, it doesn't come without risk, and I'm well aware of that because Iowa's secondary is one of the top ones in the Big Ten, if not college football. We've said his name once. I've said it 1,000 times. Jamari Harris is one of the best cover guys in college football. He has more interceptions and PBUs combined than he has receptions allowed. Slot corner Sebastian Castro is one of the best nickels in the entire country, has been now for a couple years. He's great in space as a tackler, and he's always in the right spot. It's that other corner spot that teams have picked on to the tune of 238 receiving yards on 10 receptions with 3 passing touchdowns. So if somehow you can figure out a way to isolate him, that's where I would be if I'm Greg Harbaugh. Now, even going back to last year's game, how did Minnesota end up winning that game? They were down a touchdown at halftime. It's because they came out throwing this thing in the second half and took shots field. Harbaugh opened the third quarter with Ethan, 5 straight throws. And then on that final scoring drive where Minnesota ultimately took the lead, never gave it back, they took a shot, nailed it to Daniel Jackson, 39 yards, puts him in the red zone. Dragon Kesich hits the field goal. But my worry for this game is that Iowa knows that Minnesota can't run the football. So instead of loading the box like the first three opponents have done, they're going to say, we're going to play it even, or maybe even just plus one. What do I mean when I'm saying that? I'm going to say Minnesota has 6 blockers to 7 Iowa defenders. That would be plus one in the box. And if they just do that and Phil Parker's big, long, and strong Iowa defensive line gets through the Minnesota moving company and they continue to have missed assignments and execution errors, this thing could get off the tracks in a hurry, folks. Through the first 3 games of the season, Iowa has allowed 2 runs of over 10 yards. That's it. So this is why I'm here to say it's going to be challenging for Brian Callahan's offensive line. If they don't have their most consistent performance of the season, we've seen Iowa defensive lines take over it before. I mean, I talked about the 2018 contest in which Anthony Nelson had 3 first-half sacks. Daniel Fa'alele era starts because of it. That final drive in 2019 where, unfortunately, Cole Kramer has to come in. A.J. Epinesa pins his ears back. We've seen it before. We've seen it 1,000 times. So if Minnesota is going to be able to put up enough points on the board, and I'm saying double-digit points could be enough, and Vegas agrees with me. They have to run it. You still got to run it 25 times in this game, and you hope to be efficient there. But Max Brosmer, the transfer you took from New Hampshire, has to have his best game as a Gopher. As does, maybe more importantly here in tandem, the protection in front of him. I will end with saying this about the offense. We've seen PJ Fleck just take points before.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a game where field goals win. I understand Iowa, you beat them last year 12-10. That is an anomaly. You need to see the ball get in the end zone. So you have to be aggressive, PJ. Play for six instead of just being okay with taking three. Now, defensively, you're coming off back-to-back shutouts. Minnesota's defense has not allowed a point in 121 minutes and 44 seconds of game time. And now you face an Iowa offense that, with Tim Lester now calling the plays, has one of the best running attacks in the country so far. Caleb Johnson is really, really good. Minnesota's already seen a really, really good running back in Omarion Hampton. But slowing down Caleb Johnson has to be the number one thing. Now, Iowa State couldn't figure out how to do it because Johnson exploded for 187 rushing yards against them. But the last time that Iowa lost a game in which their tailback rushed for 100 yards before that Iowa State game was 2022 Nebraska. So holding the Johnson somehow under 100 yards is going to be huge here, because where I want to live is making Cade McNamara, everybody's favorite Michigan transfer, beat you. In Iowa's last four losses, their quarterbacks have combined to complete 38% of their throws with no passing touchdowns and five interceptions. I mean, that's where you want to be. And if that's going to come to fruition, Winston's defensive line has to have their most complete and most physical game of the season, because all five of Iowa's starting offensive linemen grade out as above average when you look at the Pro Football Focus grades. They're big, they're long, they're strong, and they are outstanding at running stretch zone. And if you can't get any knockback and you can't shed blocks, Caleb Johnson is going to make someone miss and he's going to break some. So I'm going to be very curious to see how improved this defense is against the run. We saw Omarion Hampton run for 130-something yards earlier in the year. Now, he didn't break a long one in that game, which is going to be crucial here again. But they're very similar with the way that they can churn their legs and miss tackles. So if you can stop the run, get into these creative passing down packages, which have been just death on opposing quarterbacks, I have no faith that Cade McNamara can consistently beat you with his arm. Stop the run first, and if you do, you'll have a chance. And unfortunately, Luke, this leads me to the one I'm the most leery about in this entire game, and that is special teams. Because a total of 10 points have separated the last three Gopher Hawkeye football games. And now we look at the Vegas spread. It's projected to be under a touchdown, or excuse me, under a field goal in terms of whoever does the win this. And you need your special teams to be a net positive in what is projected to be a close game. Luke, do you know what Minnesota's expected points added is in terms of from special teams so far this season through three games?
Oh, gosh. It's maybe minus two.
It is minus 4.29.
Oh.
It's not just Dragon Kessich, but he has been...
Yeah, he's missed some field goals.
He's missed four field goals. I mean, there's no way getting around it, because You look at Iowa's kicker, Drew Stevens. He's perfect, 5 of 5 on field goals. Now, albeit he's only got a long of 42 yards this year, but the reigning Big Ten kicker of the year in Dragon Kessich has missed four field goals through three games.
I know, it's my fault.
I understand two of them are from 50 plus, Luke, and I hashtag college kickers, but the two closer ones against North Carolina still count all the same. And I mentioned it on the breakdown, but all four misses, and I'm going to get this wrong, and I'm going to make some angry man who golfs too much. I think it's pushing it to the right. I don't understand the whole swing mechanic thing.
Yeah, he pushes it. It's a fade.
Slice or a hook or a push. Like,
wait, he's lefty. No, he's lefty. Right. He's hooking it.
So he's hooked all four to the right. And which kicker can be most consistent is a massive factor. We saw 1 year ago that Dragon Kessich was the reason they won, because he made
all four field goals.
Four field goals.
Yeah.
So if there's one area to watch, it's the field goal kickers. And I'll also tell you this. It's not lost on me how ironic it is, and I say this non-ironically, punt returning is going to have a big impact on this game, in my opinion. And I'm not just talking about invalid signals, because I'm going to get this name wrong, and I'm going to apologize to Hawkeye fans in advance. I think it's Caden Wetchen who is their punt returner instead of Cooper DeJean this year. He has already returned 10 punts, which his 10 punts returned lead all of the Big Ten, and he's averaging 8 yards per return on those. So that's pretty good. I mean, you're getting essentially a first down per punt return. Now on the flip side, Mark Crawford's punt team has only had 2 punts returned all season. Now, Iowa on the flip side, I've talked to some Iowa people, and it's a little bit different back there without Torrey Taylor. They've got a new Australian back there by the name, I think it's Reese Dokken. Now, he's only had 2 punts returned as well, same as Mark Crawford. But he has been much more inconsistent with hang time, direction, just consistency in general. And that's part of why Troy last week was able to have a punt return touchdown of 77 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So Coy Parrish is going to have an opportunity in this game to change something. Now, I say that I'm well aware both punt returners are probably only going to have in a game which is projected to probably have at least 5 punts per side. Let's say 2 of them are returnable. Field position is going to be astronomically large in this game, and which punt returner can do it is going to be huge in this. So again, Minnesota special teams has a negative expected points added of over 4 points already. It can't be that way again on Saturday night if it's going to remain true that Minnesota holds on to the Floyd of Rosedale.
Yeah, additionally, I think another thing to add to that is, you know, against North Carolina, you had opportunistic plays, but they were negated by penalties, right? And you could say that's first game stuff, and traditionally PJ Fleck teams are not penalized greatly. But that's the sort of thing that you can't have. You can't beat yourself as well, right?
Right.
Going to have to pay attention to that. So before we get to your preview, Ryan, let's review where we're at in our predictions this season. Congratulations. You have pulled ahead of me. You correctly picked an under against Nevada. So now you are 2-1 overall. You're 2-0 in the over under, and you're 1-2 against the spread. Just a reminder that there was no over under in the Rhode Island game. I conversely am 2-1 overall, 1-1 against the over under, and 1-2 against the spread. A reminder in this game that we are going off the current betting line. So Iowa is a 2.5 point favorite with the over under being 35.5, Ryan. We both did classify this game as a coin flip.
I'm going to let you go first, because I said this to you in the pre-production meeting. As we sit here 36 hours before I have to release my score prediction in written form, I still am going back and forth. Let's hear your rationale, and then I'll give mine.
Well, first, have you looked at College Football Insider's prediction on this game?
Yes, our good friend Parker Fleming, friend of the podcast, Parker.
Yeah, he's
Fleming,
been on the podcast before. Say, yeah, we can.
Yeah, his website of collegefootballinsiders.com. Yeah, I mean, you've seen us tweet out his different previews that look at the. It's a very much a 201-301 advanced college football look at it. If you look at the projected margin, he thinks, or excuse me,
his model,
he doesn't think this. His data suggests that Minnesota should be a 5-point favorite in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Vegas is saying Iowa -2.5. So I understand that Minnesota's data is maybe a little bit less valuable than, say, Iowa's, but I don't even know that I can say that, as Illinois State and Rhode Island were different FCS teams. They're both FCS teams. I mean, what's the difference between Troy and Nevada? I'm glad you asked, because Nevada, I believe, beat Troy. I remember misremembering.
Oh, this season?
Yes, Nevada and Troy played.
Oh, now, I didn't know that. Okay.
But I'll tell you, the transitive property does not work across college football. But yes, Nevada beat Troy 28-26. Yeah. And then Minnesota's played North Carolina, and Iowa's played Iowa State. So I don't know. I mean, it's just another data point. And I would also tell you, I got a couple of messages after that Nevada game from just folks on Twitter saying, you have no idea what you're talking about. I'm so glad I fade your picks every single week and it cashes me money. And I'm like, okay, great. Like, I'm not doing this for money. I'm doing this just for, like, I'm for not betting games. I've never bet a college football game.
Yeah.
So it's just funny that, and people try to take it as gospel. We're just trying to do the best we can here, Mr. Luke Buehr.
Yeah, you know, I just can't. I can't get myself to take the over, even though it is 35.5. You know, before the season, Ryan, you picked Iowa winning 16-9. I picked 13-10. So we both should give ourselves kudos for getting the under correct on the current over under. So I'm going to stick with the under there. I'm going to go with Iowa 17, Minnesota 16.
I swear to God, I don't know how you come up with these things. I don't understand how we get to this. We can talk about it later. So here's what, in my mind, this game is truly a coin flip. I think ESPN's FPI has this as like 50.1% Iowa, 49.9% Minnesota. Vegas says Iowa's a slight favorite. The advanced analytics say a little differently towards Minnesota's side.
Right now, FPI actually has this. The matchup predictor is Iowa 50.3, Minnesota 49.7.
I mean, truly, it comes down to...
It's just going to be a good football game.
If Iowa wins this game, Caleb Johnson breaks a couple runs and he scores touchdowns. Touchdowns, whichever team can score touchdowns, whether it's offensively, and I feel like I have to say now for both sides from what we've seen, or defensive touchdowns, God forbid special teams gets involved.
Yeah.
I mean, touchdowns are going to win this game, and field goals just prolongs the agony of watching a game total with at 35-5. So if Iowa wins this game, it's Caleb Johnson. It's Iowa's defensive line gives it to the Minnesota offensive line. Brosmer has nowhere to go. There's turnovers because of it. If Minnesota wins this game, on the flip side, they stop Caleb Johnson. Cade McNamara turns the ball over a couple times. Max Brosmer is able to throw for 250 yards and hopefully at least a touchdown. And then Dragon Kessage figures it out. Now, here's where I'm at. It is a coin flip, but I'm going to choose Iowa. Why? I hate to say it, but I don't know what to expect from the reigning Big Ten kicker of the year right now. He's missed four field goals.
All right.
I think the terminology is, you said hooking. He's hooking it to the right.
Yeah.
He's missed four field goals. I understand two of them are from 50 plus, but you can't negate the one that he absolutely stoinked off the right upright from 27 yards. The one that he also missed as time expired from 47. And Drew Stevens hasn't missed a kick yet. This is going to come down to both teams are going to struggle once they get across the opponent's 35-yard line. That's just the nature of the way that these two defenses are playing right now. I'd love to tell you, no one here would love more than me to, when you get to listen to my dulcet tones on Sunday night or Monday morning, that I'm proclaiming Dragon Kessich is back from the rooftop. But we know how finicky kickers are, and especially college kickers. If I had more faith in Dragon Kessage, I think I'd choose Minnesota here. But I just think he's missed field goals in every game. And I think it just comes down to Fleck's going to be conservative in the green zone again. He's going to choose to take points. I think Dragon misses one, and that's going to be the ball game. Iowa wins 16-15.
That's incredible.
Absolutely disgusting score. If you're wondering how we
is it a Scorenami?
You know who loves Scorenamis is my favorite SID in Carl Anderson, and I'm sure he'll be able to tell us that. But look, Minnesota hasn't won at home since 2014. There have just been so many weird games in this rivalry where I'm just glad to say it is a rivalry again now because of Minnesota actually winning a contest here, but I think this is just going to be a weird game between some weather terrorism, which we'll see if that ends up coming to fruition 72 hours later from when we record this. I think it's a very, very even matchup, and it's one I'm looking really, really forward to. Well, I mean, to be honest with you, this should be a really good game.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that's going to be interesting is, like, it just to kind of summarize and put a bow on this, it's maybe not the same game that you've expected, right? Iowa's been better running the ball than they have been recently. Iowa's not been as good on special teams. Their defense thus far hasn't been nearly as opportunistic. Part of that's hard to quantify, though, because it's so early, right? Minnesota's not been good at running the ball so far. Minnesota's been throwing it better, and Minnesota's defense has definitely been more aggressive, and they've been able to, you know, be a little bit more opportunistic. But, you know, take that for what it's worth, because it's a small sample size. Again, it's just going to be an interesting game all in all. I'm not saying it's going to dictate the remainder of the season, but it's big for both teams.
And that's where I want to say Minnesota's going to be able to put up at least 15 points in this game, but it just comes down to three things. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Dragan Kesic on special teams, can he hit at least 80% of his field goals in this game? Minnesota loves to now use their running backs in the passing game. Folks, you can only use your running backs in the passing game if you don't have to keep them in pass protection. I mean, that's part of why Minnesota hasn't been able to use their running backs in the passing game, is because they've had to bring them in to chip or just in pass pro. And then defensively, I mentioned them before, but Winston's defensive line group of Danny Strigow, Devin Eastern, Ja Joyner, Jalen Logan Redding, Anthony Smith, those big boys got to show up, because this Iowa offensive line has been clicking. I'm excited to watch this game, and I'd love to eat crow on Sunday, but until we can get some of the questions, I'm going to say Ference's group is going to have it figured out.
All right, let's talk a little bit of Big Ten. We'll go quickly through this, Ryan. A great Friday night matchup featuring number 24 Illinois at number 22 Nebraska. This will be a 7 p.m. game on Fox. Nebraska is a 7.5-point favorite with the over-under at 42.5.
This is a good litmus test for both teams.
100%.
I mean, you've seen Nebraska beat Colorado. They beat the doors off of them because they're so good in the trenches. Well, Illinois has a big boy win against Kansas, which maybe it's not a big boy win now that we saw Kansas lose again. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to find out a lot more about both teams. Now, this is going to be a very tough environment for Brett Bielema to go into. Lincoln has a lot of juice back in it. You're back under the lights. We're going to see if Dylan Raiola can scheme it against Aaron Henry. I'm going to be very curious. I'm going to have this one on Fox, because while I think Nebraska ultimately wins, we're going to see if the true freshman, the million-dollar man himself, can be able to sling it against an Illinois defense with a lot of confidence right now.
All right, Marshall travels to Ohio State to play the Buckeyes at 11 a.m. on Fox. Ohio State, a 40-point favorite with an over-under of 51.5.
Did you see what Brett McMurphy tweeted out this week from...
You mean what their coach? Yeah, amazing.
So for those of you who don't know, Charles Huff is the head coach of Marshall.
Yeah.
And he said in his press conference, he will offer any Buckeyes that transfer to Marshall an all-you-can-eat NIL deal from Tudor's Biscuits. That's going to be the most important thing you learn about a game with a spread of 40 in it.
Okay.
Charles Huff, God bless you.
Charlotte travels to Indiana, 11 a.m. game on BTN. Indiana, 28.5-point favorite with a 48.5 over-under.
Daniel House is without pants somewhere because his Indiana Hoosier squad, he's a big Kurt Cignetti fan.
I know he is.
As I've chosen to remind him of this week again, that's future Florida State head coach Kirk Cignetti to you, considering you look at the next three games for Indiana: home against Charlotte, home against Maryland, and on the road. Can we say not on the road? If someone has to go play Northwestern at their place, it's no longer you're on the road. You're on the lake. Like, you're at the practice field on the lake now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is going to be...
I had a coworker,
you, Kirk Cignetti,
I had a coworker that was actually at one of the Northwestern games. He's at the Northwestern Duke game, and he actually was like, the viewing experience is terrible. He's just like, it's awful.
That's fantastic. Northwestern can never get
it. He said that it was cold because of the wind, like right off the lake. And, you know, this was like... couple weeks ago, where it should still be warm. Okay, Villanova travels to Maryland. I learned that Villanova still has a football program. I assume they would have played St. Thomas. 11 a.m. game. There's no line or anything for this. We'll just skip on to the next one. I feel for Kenny Burns.
How dare you? I think Jay Wright is coaching this game. All right, let's move on to the next one. Even though the next one, Godspeed, Luke.
Oh, man. Kenny Burns,
no one's
man.
More invested in this Mac team than you are.
Oh, Kenny Burns' team, Kent State, the Golden Flashes, are traveling to Penn State after just getting slobber knocked by Tennessee. This is a 2:30 game on BTN. The over-under for this one is 49 with a 56.5 over-under.
Poor Kenny Burns, former running back coach. He's 0-3. Yes, he's lost to Tennessee and Pitt, but he lost to something called St. Francis of Pennsylvania at home,
yep,
which I learned is some FCS team.
Yep.
Now he gets to go to Penn State, and Penn State is going to absolutely, I think the term you used was slobber knock,
yeah,
and I think that's seemingly true. I feel for Kai Thomas, who is the leading rusher for the Golden Flashes, 36 carries for 89 yards.
Yep.
It's quite the rebuild.
Yep.
15 games in for Kenny Burns.
All right. Number 11 USC heads to the Big House to take on Michigan on CBS at 2:30. USC is a 5.5-point favorite on the road, over under 44.5.
This game is going to be super intriguing for a multitude of different reasons. Yes, it's the first, I think USC's first conference game as a Big Ten team, but you have Miller Moss in that USC offense going against Michigan's defense, which, well, there's been a lot of lamenting about the Michigan offense, and we'll get to them in a second, but that Michigan defense is still pretty dang good. I know they've been banged up in the secondary. We'll see if they get anybody back, but if Michigan's creatures on the D-line can get after Miller Moss, I don't care what college quarterback you got. If they got pressure in their face, they're going to make mistakes. And then on the flip side, Michigan's making a quarterback change to Alex Orji. We're going to see if now their run-first quarterback can give USC some fits. Now, USC gets a bye week to prepare. They've been very, very improved defensively, but this is a huge game for both teams.
Yeah, no question. UCLA travels to LSU to take on the number 16 Tigers, a 2:30 kick on ABC and ESPN Plus, if that's your thing. LSU, a 24.5-point favorite, 56.5 over-under.
I tried to tell you that UCLA wasn't going to be much good, but now they start the toughest three games in college football. Like, if you pick the three-game section of any team schedule this year, this UCLA stretch, they're just starting this weekend, is up there with anybody. They're on the road to Baton Rouge this weekend. They return home to take on a top 10 Oregon team, and then they have to fly out to Penn State the week before Minnesota comes to town. It's great if you're a Golden Gopher fan because you don't know where the heck that team's going to be at mentally and physically, but it's going to be a long year in Westwood.
Okay, an interesting one on the ACC network, not a channel that I believe I get. But it will be
heard of it before.
What, you've never heard of it? I honestly don't know if I have either. Okay. Rutgers, travels to Virginia Tech, enter Sandman, of course, Virginia Tech, 3.5-point favorite, 44.5 over under.
It's the Ethan Kaliak Manis game in terms of, we know Ethan's improved and I hope he is improved. He looks improved. But how improved is he now that he has to travel on the road? Now, Rutgers got a bye week to prepare for this, which Kirk Ciarca off a bye will speak into the ether that he's always got his team prepared, especially his offense, especially his quarterback. But we're going to see if Virginia Tech gets pressure on Ethan, if he's still getting antsy, if the ball still goes in some erratic spots, or if he learns to just take the sack, or if he throws it away, or if he makes plays with his feet. Virginia Tech being the slight favorite. This is one that I hope we have in the press box. I'm not sure Huntington Bank Stadium, Luke, gets the ACC network.
But you're going to find out.
I'm going to find out.
All right. Northwestern travels to Husky Stadium in Seattle to take on Washington at 6 p.m. on FS1. Washington is a 10.5-point favorite, a 42 over under, and I feel absolutely horrible about that.
I hope that Washington comes out, because it's Northwestern versus Washington, Purple Rain just comes out of the speakers with two purple teams here. That's about as much analysis as I have for you. I don't think Northwestern's much good. I'm not sure Washington's much good.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be paying attention to this one.
All right. Michigan State travels to Boston College for a 7 p.m. game on, yet again, the ACC Network. Boston College is a 6.5-point favorite with the over-under of 45.5.
This is a sneaky good game. I don't even think it's sneaky because Bill O'Brien's Boston College Eagles, while Bill O'Brien may be a horrific GM in the NFL, he's a damn good college coach. I mean, you saw it take it to Florida State. Now, turns out, I'm not sure how good Florida State is now that they're 0-3, but they took Missouri to the wire at Missouri, lost by 6 points. And my favorite quarterback in college football now gets to play against Boston College as Aiden Childs, Mr. I only chuck the ball 55 yards down the field on every play. I mean, he just lives and dies by the deep ball. And now he gets to play against Bill O'Brien. We're going to see Joe Rossi versus that stout offensive line for Boston College. It's going to be a sneaky good one if you want to flip in between games.
All right. And then finally, Purdue travels to Corvallis to take on Oregon State and the Beavers at 7:30 on Ryan, the CW Network.
Is this sandwiched in between Pokemon and Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
I don't know.
Or is this a different CW I remember watching from back in the day?
I don't know. Oregon State is a 4.5-point favorite with the over-under being 50.5.
Here's what I would say. I think Vegas has this game pegged right in terms of they're not sure what to do with it. Because what do we know about Oregon State? They beat Idaho State and San Diego State, and they got boat raced by Oregon. Whereas Purdue kicks the snot out of Indiana State and then gets absolutely smoked by 59 points at home last week against Notre Dame. If for whatever reason you somehow are watching the Sabrina Teenage Witch and you fall asleep and you wake up and this game's on, maybe give it a little bit of a shot, but I don't know, man. I'd flip it over to NBC.
All right. It should be a fun game per usual. All of you out there in the tailgate lots, be safe, be smart. Don't do anything silly. Don't find yourself on Twitter doing something completely idiotic in a video. Just have fun. Most importantly, Ryan, we want to thank our sponsors for making this possible, the Burns Insurance Agency, Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group, and Homefield Apparel. So we are really excited to welcome back Derek Burns again on the breakdown. He'll be joining us on Sunday to break down this Iowa game. Should be fun to have him back and get his perspective. Again, thank you for listening, and go Gophers.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.